homage to Sakyamuni Buddha, homage to His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, homage to His Holiness Gelwe Nyugu Rinpoche. Let's raise bodhicitta to benefit countless suffering sentient beings. May all beings have happiness and all the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and all the causes of suffering. May they never be separated from the great happiness, devoid of suffering. And may they forever dwell in the great equanimity, free from attachment and aversion. To sacred bodhicitta, the precious and excellent mind, where it is not, may it arise. Where it is, may it never decline, consistently growing, rising higher and higher. Welcome back, everybody. And today we are going to talk about cause and effect and dependent origination. This is just an introduction to cause and effect. There's another chapter later on in the book, which I think deals with it a lot more extensively. And basically, what this is that nothing happens without a cause. If we're experiencing something, something is happening in our life, it has come about because of certain causes, and these causes have come together with the right conditions, and as a result, we experience the result. And this is really a natural law, and this natural law applies both to the physical or material world and also to our mental world. It's actually just a natural law of this world. It applies to everything, in everything we do. And we can see it happening around us all the time. Now, this wasn't something that Buddha invented. He wasn't sitting there when he was trying to attain enlightenment or had attained enlightenment, thinking, what can I use? What can I find to control everybody, to stop everybody having fun? It was just really that he observed through his practice that this was just a natural law of the world, that everything abides by cause and effect. And so he just tells us that this is how it works. It's not something that he invented. So some people have the idea that if I believe in it, then I'm going to be subject to cause and effect. So if I don't believe it, then I won't be subject to cause and effect. So better I don't believe it. Unfortunately, it doesn't work this way. Even if you don't believe in cause and effect, you will experience the results of cause and effect. And this has also been mentioned in Christianity. Maybe it's spoken about in a different way. But in Christianity, they also talk about whatever seeds you sow, so shall you reap. And also, when we talk about if you do negative deeds, that you'll go to the hells, and if you go do positive deeds, you'll go to the heavens, this in itself is really a form of cause and effect. Because of the causes of your negative deeds, you suffer. Because of the causes of your positive deeds, you go to heaven. Now, I'm not too sure how if it is mentioned or how it's mentioned in Islam. I know it is also mentioned in Hinduism. In the notes, it mentions rice. I'll use an example of tea. For instance, if we want to make tea. So this is an example of cause and effect with respect to physical phenomena. Let's say we've gone out camping and we wake up in the morning and we really feel like a cup of tea. To make the tea, what do we need? We need to have the water. We need to have a container, a pot, the fuel to be able to boil the water. We need to have oxygen. We need to have somebody that puts the tea into the water and puts the water into the pot and to light the fuel. And then when all of these causes and conditions have come together, then we're able to make tea and we're able to enjoy the tea. And then how does this work with respect to mental phenomena? What happens is everything that we're doing, our motivations, our judgments, our discriminations, all of these rising thoughts are planting seeds in our mind stream, or should we say leaving traces in our mind stream. Maybe we could say leaving imprints in our mind stream. An example of this would be, for instance, we are driving to work, or we're traveling to work, and the radio is on and there's a song playing, and a few hours later we're humming the tune. We think, where did the song come from? Why am I singing this? But what happened was we heard it, maybe consciously, or maybe it was just in the background, we didn't pay much notice to it. The song was playing and it left those traces in our mind stream. And then later we start singing it. Or we remember what happened the next day. And these traces or these imprints stay in our mind stream. And when the right causes and conditions arise, then they appear again. So these traces are left in the part of mind which we call the alaya. And this is also known as the law of karma. All these causes and conditions coming together create karma, and we experience the result of this karma, or this cause and effect. What is karma really? Karma is action. It's the action of our body, our speech, and our mind. And it can also be deeds or actions that have the power to produce an effect. Generally speaking, the karma is separated into positive karma, negative karma, and neutral karma. And whether it's positive or negative or neutral depends on our motivation, our intention for what we are acting on. And so we see in this case that our motivation is very important, or our intention is very important. So it's very important to watch our intention and our motivation. And how do we do this? Is through our mindfulness and awareness. And these actions of ours, either in speech or with our body, they leave repercussions. For instance, if we treat somebody really badly, then, or somebody treats us very badly, one is we experience the event very unhappily, but it also leaves repercussions. It leaves these thoughts remembering this event. And these repercussions could stay there for a long time. An example of this as well, how these repercussions are left, is also the same as these imprints or traces being left in our mind stream, is if somebody really treats us very well, they buy us something nice, they help us, they save our life, for instance, the next time we see that person, we'll be very happy to see them, or there'll be a warm feeling, or at least we'll maybe smile, or it's not like we're going to be unhappy to see them. And so we see that event, that help of the person, or the kind deed has left an imprint in our mind stream. And similarly, if somebody does something negative to us, really hurts us, it leaves that imprint. The next time we see them, either we want to avoid them, we want to say something nasty to them, we want to ask them what it was all about. And generally the feeling of seeing them again is not that of so much of a happy experience.